Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Did ABC's supermarket sweep revival meet or exceed your expectations? And what would Rod Serling think about TV 2020? Two of the topics we'll explore next. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two and more when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 65 degrees at the top of the hour. It's an absolutely gorgeous day here in the Big Apple, and we welcome you on this Monday afternoon to our latest edition live of the program, Mobile TV's current and future. We're delighted to have you with us. Yes, for the second episode in a row, we have no guests for you, but we have a lot of TV stuff to talk about, and we want you in the conversation. It's so simple. Give us a call with your thoughts at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And our chat room is back in business for you this Monday, so use it. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room, and either way, you will be involved. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and we'll be live with you. Some thoughts about Supermarket Sweep and how it did last night at ABC after these news notes. It didn't take long for Warner Brothers Television to name a successor, Chairman Peter Osland, worth the part only next year. When that happened, after more than 2 decades in the top post at WBTV, former Netflix and ABC senior executive Channing Dungey will arrive. Dungey, until 2 weeks ago, the head of originals at Netflix, will concentrate on growing content for HBO Max as well as other programming services and platforms. Again, that will happen in early 2021. Expect more PX programs on Apple TV Plus in 2021. Current series Snoopy in Space, which was nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award earlier this year, is getting a second season as the Snoopy Show offshoot series begins. Also, look for a quartet of new Peanuts holiday specials next year, plus a documentary marking the 70th anniversary of the classic comic strip. And as for those classic Peanuts specials like A Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and so on, well, they will start appearing on Apple TV Plus starting next month with A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving and followed by, in December, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Remember the announcement by Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti that we pointed to in last Friday's news notes? Well, here it is. The formation of LTX Connect, a venture matching Latino talent with jobs in TV, entertainment, and other industries. That announcement was made at the conclusion of LTX Fest on Friday night, virtually from Los Angeles. And now some quickies. Cinedigm is buying the Film Detective. That is an organization that has both a library of thousands of films and TV show episodes, and that also includes its pair of smart TV gadget distributed services. The deal is expected to close before the end of the year. President Trump and Joe Biden will get separate interview time this Sunday on CBS 60 Minutes. Trump will also be seen in a town hall meeting on a series that Sinclair, headed by Eric Bolling, former Fox News commentator Eric Bolling, that will be running 55 Sinclair television stations on Wednesday night. Popular National Hockey League play-by-play broadcaster Mike Emmerich is retiring. 47 years following pro hockey for both national and local television, the last last 15 were with NBC Sports. Also, for 2 decades, he was with Madison Square Garden Network's coverage of New Jersey Devils hockey on a regional basis. National Geographic offers a Virus Hunter special in prime time, November 1st. Vice TV will bring pro wrestling series Dark Side of the Ring back for a third season next year. And Supermarket Sweep's primetime comeback on ABC last night attained more than 4.8 million viewers. That's tops for non-sports and news content on broadcast TV. The big winner was Sunday Night Football on NBC, followed by the Major League Finals of the National League Championship Series, which the Dodgers won, and then 60 Minutes on CBS. And that is news notes for today. It was at this point last Monday that we brought you an exclusive interview with the two key producers, executive producers, I should say, of Supermarket Sweep, Alicia Rossner and Wes Coble. And we had a great, great time. You can catch that interview on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Well, after 17 years away, Supermarket Sweep came back in prime time on the very network that introduced it back in the early 1960s, ABC. And I'll tell you, if you saw it, I have a hunch you were not disappointed at all. In fact, for me, Supermarket Sweep not only met my expectations of how it would go, it exceeded it. And that's because of the great production values given the show, and most importantly, the wonderful, sassy work of executive producer and host Saturday Night Live. We've told you about Saturday Night Live, excuse me, Saturday former Leslie Jones. I said it before, and I'll say it again. When you see Leslie playing on the game show, she is a lot of fun. She's worth it the whole time you see her. And I thought that she, for an opening time as a host, was just dynamite. She put her own spin on the series, but nevertheless, she also acknowledged what was great about the original show, especially the 1990s version of Lifetime. She gave a shout-out very quickly to David Rupek, the original host of that show in the 1990s. She really toed the line when it came to a lot of the things that made the 1990s version so great, and she really worked with the contestants very, very well. I thought that overall, it was marvelous. For those who remember that 1990s version on Lifetime and PAX, a lot of things that made it work did very well. They had the great pricing games. They had the round-robin game. I thought they made a really wonderful idea with this logo game where you fill in the logo and you have to guess what the product is. So it was a terrific idea. In fact, in the first game, it was in the round-robin game. In the second game, the second half hour, it was part of the game in the first half of the show before the round-robin. The games were a lot of fun. Everyone could play. Loved the mini-sweep. But that the contestants may have been a little bit over-anxious or a little over-excited, but I thought they played the game very, very well. And when it came to the big sweep, the camera work was outstanding. Leslie caught it right on the nose, put a lot of her humor in. I thought the camera work, the cameras on the cart, the drone cameras, the crane cameras up above, it worked beautifully. Love the bonuses. Love the fact they had the coffee game. They had the candy game. They had the shoppers list. Really, really terrific. And it was a very, as it turned out, both sweeps in both half hours were very, very close. And what put icing on the cake was the bonus sweep for $100,000. In case you missed the show, here's how it works. Like the original bonus game, you had the opportunity to have three clues to products. You had to get the products. You had to get your hands on the money within 60 seconds or less. And if you did, what was $5,000 in the original bonus game was $25,000 last night. But that's not all. You also had the opportunity, if you wanted to put that money on the line and double it, first for $50,000 to find a product, and then $100,000 to find a fifth product. And the other nice twist was that if you had time left on the clock to go for either one, the clock automatically doubled. So let's say you had 15 seconds to go, you had 30 seconds for the fourth product, and et cetera, for the final product. It was, I think, a real test of nerves, and I thought it worked very, very, very well. By the way, I understand somebody just came into our chat room and just left. It was observation, all earnings. So observation, you have something to say, get back in the chat room, put it down. We'd love to hear what you think about Supermarket Sweep or TV overall, or just give us a call, 646-652-2906. It was really fantastic. I thought that the show worked beautifully, especially given the fact that unlike the 90s version, you had less time to play the game because of a lot more commercials. And one other thing happened about Supermarket Sweep that was really great, and I hope some people caught it. We may have seen the first primetime transgender contestant on a game show. And I thought it was handled beautifully. It was the third couple in the second game, second half hour. And you didn't know until it was husband and wife. It's the husband that is the transgender person and the wife straight. And it was the wife that introduced the transgender person. I thought did a great job. It was matter of fact. Leslie handled it beautifully. And a little bit of game show history may have been attained last night. If you're a fan of Supermarket Sweep, either the original 1960s version that was taped at food fair supermarkets around the country, or the 99s version with David Rupek, I think you really enjoyed this show. It was great from start to finish. And yes, you did get the finale with the famous saying, you know, next time you check out Canada, you hear the beep and so on and so forth. It was really beautiful, and I like the way they went from the shot on the ground to the shot up above with that crane shot. Also, I like the use of the music. I like the fact they had some of the original sound effects from the 1990s version. Love good stuff. The thing about ABC, when they do revive a game show, especially when it's done by Fremantle, is I think everyone really learns a lesson off the bat, which is keep the format simple. Don't screw it around. Enhance it. Don't screw it. And like they did with Pressure Luck, like they did with Card Sharks, like they did with Match Game, they kept the format, and Pyramid also, they kept the format great. So kudos to Alicia, kudos to Wes, kudos to all the to Leslie, kudos to everybody involved. And I think Supermarket Sweep is going to have a very, very long run on ABC. A very, very long run. And in case you didn't know, Sunday Night Now is back to being an all-game show lineup after America's Funniest Home Videos at 7 o'clock. It's Supermarket Sweep at 8. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire at 9 o'clock, and then Match Game, the Supermarket Sweep at 8, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire back with Jimmy Kimmel, season number 2 at 9, and then Card Sharks at 10. I have to tell you, I still don't like the fact that they have that music is too much overdone. It shouldn't be out of the question. So when Joe McHale was the candidate, McHale was better, by the way, and two big winners, incidentally, on the new episode. I think they made a nice remodeling of the set. I wish they didn't have an applause track, and the same thing with Supermarket Sweep also, but I understand, given, you know, there's only so much you can do or don't do. I do would like, in the case of Card Sharks, cut down on the music when Joe is doing the questions and introducing the contestants. We don't need it. We want to hear what the contestants have to say. You sometimes drown it out. And I'm happy to use the Ed Kaloff theme music, which is really great. So, I'd love to hear what you think about Supermarket Sweep. Like I said, did it meet or exceed your expectations? Give us a call, 646-652-2906, that's 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'd love to hear from you throughout the rest of the program. So you have the say, you have the floor, so please do. And while we wait for some thoughts to come in, I also wanted to give a shout-out to an event that I noted in the news notes, and that's LTX Fest. It happened last week, Tuesday through Friday, virtual fest, never gone there before, and it's an effort to try to bring more Latinos into the world of technology, including TV technology, in terms of forming their own companies, businesses, startups, etc. I thought the conference went very, very well. Very happy that Comcast NBC Universal was a major sponsor. Do wish that they could have had at least one panel covering the world of television to talk about, for example, opportunities to create companies that incorporated TV technology will make a difference in TV this decade, like 5G, interactive TV, augmented reality, telemedicine, teleeducation, and so on. But what it was, though, it was really terrific, and we got a lot of nice contact there. And I thought that the thoughts were very authentic. It was very free-flowing, very engaging, great chat rooms, really well done. And I was also very happy to see and hear about this new LTX Connects project, which is being done with an organization called LA Collab, as in collaboration, which many, many Latino TV producers, writers, actors are involved with, that will try to match the qualifications of various Latino talents with new TV and entertainment opportunities. And we'll keep you posted. If we hear anything comes out of that project involving television, we certainly will feature some of those people on our show. And we also have a communication out to LA Collab. We'd love to hear what they're doing in the world of television. And I hope that we hear from them, and ultimately we'd like to feature them on this program. All right, we come back, our classic trivia question of the week. We have a brand-new question, and we have a wonderful new prize for the first correct answer. So we'll get to that, but first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Have you heard of the Bobbyverse? That's right, the Bobbyverse. It's become one of the new sensations on Audible.com. Listeners to that wonderful service have heard some of the audiobooks of that wonderful science fiction universe by Dennis Taylor. And the latest is now out called Heaven's River. And if you'd like to join the Bodyverse gang for other things that you'd like to hear, well, what you got to do is go for a one-month trial to audible.com, and we'll tell you how in a moment. But first, excuse me, want to let you know that audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you listen on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, as well as Amazon Music. And all you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. And you get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, plus health and wellness material, and much more, too. And you also get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Now, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, it's even better because you not only get one audiobook to choose from off the bat, two, including the fast-growing number of Audible originals. By originals, I'm talking about original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, as well as great one-woman and one-man performances. So if you're an Amazon Prime customer already, deal for you because you get two audiobooks for the trial of one. Plus, you also get other discounts as well that you can use if you become an Amazon customer to Audible. So how about making today a great day to learn what audibletrial.com can be for you and how Audible can transform the way you hear the world? Remember, the place you go is audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Remember, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, $2 for the trial of one. And don't forget, a subscription to audible.com, no matter how long it runs, it's a wonderful gift. You know, we're coming into Halloween and holiday season ahead, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, etc. So, you know, for you and someone you love, it makes a super gift that lasts all lifetime long. audibletrial.com/televised. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And we have a wonderful prize for trying to get our second weekly winner in a row. It is the brand new American Express 2021 calendar date book. That's pocket size. It fits in any coat pocket, jacket pocket. It's great. It gives you all the dates and all the calendar dates of 2021. Great place to write what you got to do, appointments, special engagements, that kind of thing. It's so super. And it also gives you a personal data page, too. So you can always check out where you're at and who you are. So, and there's a lot of other great information, too, you can find that's nice and it's great and easy to find, too. So that's our prize, and you can win if you know the answer to this question. Excuse me. One of the greatest directors in film and theater in the 1960s and 70s was Mike Nichols. On film alone, classics like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and his Oscar-winning turn in The Graduate. And when it came to plays, it was plays from great playwrights, including Neil Simon. But when it came to television, Mike Nichols only did one television show as executive producer in the 1970s. And that's our question. Name the 1970s drama series executive produced by Mike Nichols. Name the 1970s executive produced by Mike Nichols drama series. And incidentally, it's a drama series that you can now find as of last week on YouTube. One more time, here's the question. Name the 1970s drama series executive produced by Mike Nichols. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And once again, our prize this time, the new American Express 2021 pocket-sized calendar, datebook, and information guide. So if you're first with the correct answer, this is what you win. It's a marvelous, marvelous handy-dandy book that's great all year long. And how do you get involved in our classic trivia question? Very simple. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the American Express 2021 pocket size calendar and date book. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Again, remember, you want to enclose your name and your mailing address with your email so that if you win, we can get the prize out to you as soon as possible. And once again, we are looking for our second weekly winner in a row. Let's see if we can get a new streak going. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. So remember, as we like to say around here, in order to win, you got to put in. So do so. And all the very best. And I promise you, I think you'll like the prize we've got for you this week for you or someone you love. When we come back, we're going to pose this question. What would Rod Serling think about today's television theme? I'll have an answer, and I'd love to hear yours too. So get your chat room going and get your phone lines going, 646-652-2906. The chat room is Simon Apple 04 by name at our homepage, blogs.com/televised. And we will get to that subject after we pause near the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, TuneIn.com. And together, they reach more than 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, TuneIn Radio is your home 24-7 for the Coronavirus News Channel. Get the latest on this pandemic from all over the planet. Podcast and original material as well. It's all coming your way on the Coronavirus News Channel 24/7. Make it a habit to tune in. TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to more Tomorrow Televised on this non-guest edition of Monday afternoon, October 2020. Simon Applebaum, I'm with you live from New York. We thank you for tuning us in. And if you have a question or comment, put it in the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And also, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And before we get to our second topic, our second big topic of the day, I do want to let you know that, as I mentioned off the bat, this is our second episode in a row. It has never happened in a big way like this. In the 13-plus years we've been doing this program, that we've had two consecutive episodes without a guest. But that will not happen on Friday because we got a great lineup for you. In fact, we're going to go 2 hours with our show. And here's the lineup so far. First up, last week we gave you the top TV strategist, Steve LeBlanc. And a lot of people liked that interview, by the way. So we've got another top person in that arena for you. His name is Lee Hunt. Many people consider him one of the very, very best in terms of TV strategy, particularly when it comes to marketing and promotion. He's got a brand new venture also we'll talk about as well. So Lee Hunt will be joining us, and he'll probably be our lead guest. Also, we have the Executive Vice President of the fast-growing smart TV service, Whistle TV, formerly known as Whistle Sports, Griffin Kimblick. And we'll also have the producer of a big new series coming to Hulu next month called No Man's Land, Maria Feldman. And she's also one of the top international TV producers as well. She's been involved in such series as Fabra and Prison of War, which begat the Emmy Award-winning Showtime series Homeland, which wrapped up its run there earlier this year. Maria Feldman from No Man's Land joins us live as from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, which is noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. And next Monday, among our guests, we'll have a recurring guest star on the Emmy Award-nominated FX series What We Do in the Shadows. Her name is Veronica Filatowska. And she's not going to be a returning guest star for long because next year she's going to be starring in a new original drama that will be running on a very unusual network, the Heartland Network, the country music service that's trying to be our version, our generation's version of the Nashville Network. And she has some other things in the works too as well, and she'll tell us all about it. So that's next Monday on Tomorrow Televised. And we're going to wrap up the month with major person from Home and Garden Television, Group Senior Vice President of Programming, Lauren Rutsch. We'll talk about the brand new Lorraine Bracco series that is coming to HGTV, My Big Italian Adventure. Remember the movie Other Texas Sun? Remember what Diane Lane had to do to revitalize her new home in Italy? Well, that's happening with the former co-star of The Sopranos, Lorraine Bracco. And we'll talk to Lauren about the making of that series and other new shows that are coming soon to Home and Garden Television. That's all coming up a week from Friday, our final episode of the month, October 30th, right here, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, on Tomorrow Be Televised. So a lot of guests coming your way, including those coming your way this Friday in our special two-hour edition. So tune in and be involved in the conversation. It was 25 years ago that one of the great writers of any media passed away from a heart attack at the tender age of 50. I'm referring to Rod Serling. the creator of The Twilight Zone, and frankly, one of the greatest television writers when it came to documenting in dramatic form the state of our society and the state of ourselves as individuals. Nobody did it better. With such plays as Patterns, Requiem for a Heavyweight, The Comedian, In the Presence of Blind Enemies, A Town Had Turned to Dust, The Rack, The Velvet Alley. Many of them for the award-winning, groundbreaking series Playhouse 90 in the 1950s. And then, of course, from 1959 to 1964, Rod put science fiction television on a huge map with The Twilight Zone, which currently is now in a new version for CBS All Access, hosted by Jordan Peele, and produced in part through his Monkey Paw production company. Serling went on to do a marvelous Western that only ran a year with Lloyd Bridges called The Loner, as well as Night Gallery, which ran three seasons in different ways on NBC. When he passed away in 1975, he was at a big low point of his career. He was not getting business. He was not getting work. Basically, he was doing teaching at Antioch College in New York. And he was in bad shape physically because of years of heavy smoking. However, despite his own personal woes, Serling was to some extent still, while a critic of television and the state of which it had become, he was also optimistic about where TV could go as a medium. On Saturday morning, I was going through YouTube, and I happened to look accidentally at a half-hour special that was produced for public television stations along the East Coast in 1967-68 called A Conversation with Rod Serling. And there Rod was at the studios of WETA TV in Washington, D.C., speaking for a half hour, uninterrupted, Bernie Harrison, at that time one of the top TV critics in the nation, writing for the Washington Star. That was the rival at the time to the Washington Post, rival newspaper. And also with them was the celebrated poet James Dickey, who a few years later would write the brilliant novel Deliverance, which became an equally brilliant movie, and he was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay for an Academy Award. The special was taped at a time when TV, by most TV critics' estimation, had a terrible season. Very few original shows, a lot of formulaic programs, and everybody agreed that was where TV was at. Rod was particularly dismayed about the fact that the anthology format, the format that he came of age in, first with live and taped dramas, and then The Twilight Zone, was, at that time, over and done with. Anthology shows at the time like Bob Hope Presents the Chrysler Theater, ABC Stage 67, Crash Suspense Theater, and others were not happening anymore. They were persona show format non grata. And he was very concerned that television variety was being shrunk, short-lived. And even though that view was throughout that half hour, Serling nevertheless said that TV can still aspire to be a great medium. The problem was not the lack of talent. He said, it's out there, the talent is out there, colleges is out there, other places out there. The problem was the lack of a platform. Free broadcast networks, maybe independent television stations, if they were banded together in syndication for a project. And that was the issue. Not talent, not desire, not will. Platform. The ability of the controllers of the platform to open themselves up to that talent and open themselves up to innovation. After watching that special, which you can see on YouTube, it's called The Conversation with Rod Serling. It's put together by the Eastern Educational Network, which was the non-PBS organization that supplied programming, like PBS, to stations up and down the Eastern Seaboard. After I saw the special, it hit me. Here we are in 2020, 45 years after Serling's death. What would he think about TV today had he lived? He would be 95 years old right now. What would he think about an abundant TV universe? A universe that wasn't just three broadcast networks, but actually more broadcast networks, Fox, CW, ION, cable channels, pay and basic, multicast services, the first generation of programming services presented through smart TV sets and devices, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, CuriosityStream, CBS All Access, Crackle, the round of mega programming services that have come aboard over the last year, BET+, Disney+, Apple TV+, HBO Max, Peacock, with CBS All Access in early next year to become Paramount+. And this incredible surge of new television services, again going through smart TV sets and smart TV devices, of all sizes and shapes, in spite of the coronavirus pandemic, and more to come. What would Rod Serling make of all that? I can't read into Rod Serling's mind, and we'll never know, obviously, but I can only hunch. And here's my hunch. And I'm basing it on the state of mind Rod was at the time of his death. I'm basing it on the great read, The Twilight Zone Companion, which showcases not only The Twilight Zone, but all of Rod Serling's career, before, during, and after. And seeing this conversation, as well as the Mike Wallace interview that he did right before doing The Twilight Zone, 1959. I think Rod would really admire, if not love, would admire where TV is at today. I think he would look upon this incredible range of programming services and what's to come. And I think he would feel like a kid in a candy store. In fact, if Rod had stayed alive till the 1980s, when you had the beginnings of networks or the coming to age of networks like HBO, Showtime, USA, MTV, and others, I think he would really like to be in that medium as much as possible. I think he would appreciate the creative freedom that he would have had. I think he would appreciate the willingness to take chances, both in the content as well as the context, to try innovative approaches to storytelling, and most importantly, the ability to really document the human condition with all the technical innovation at his command. I think he would have, if Netflix was around the way it is now, in this decade, I think he would have been one of those people who would have jumped at the opportunity to make a long-term program development deal. He would look at shows like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black and Grow and many, many more, and he would, and I also think that he would revive The Twilight Zone much earlier than CBS did in the mid-1980s. he would like the fact that we are seeing a revival of the anthology drama with shows like Little America and Modern Love and Soulmates, a few weeks old now on AMC. He would like the way that science fiction has been portrayed in recent years with shows like Battlestar Galactica and Wynonna Earp and The Magicians and Game of Thrones and The Umbrella Academy. And I have a hunch that had he lived to be part of this television scene over the last 40 years, he would have delivered to us his greatest work. Work that would be unlike anything he had ever done before. And work that would find its audience no matter how big it turned out to be. And they would welcome him, and so would the people producing his material. I think he would have appreciated working with the likes of Shonda Rhimes and Ryan Murphy and Greg Berlanti and Kenya Barris. And Sean Ryan. And Jenji Kohan. Just like he did working with Buck Houghton on the first 3 years of The Twilight Zone, which many people believe is the best 3 years, quality-wise, of that series. It will always feel to me that it was one of the great shames that Rod Serling could not live past 1975, that he died just as cable TV was starting to bubble. There was talk about independent television like Operation Primetime and putting on series like Mary Hartman in late night on a mix of broadcast network and independent stations. Because as he hung on, I really believe that Rod Serling had hung on into the 1980s, he would have found a new niche in television, a wide niche, and a wide audience for it. Whatever Rod Serling is right now in that universe he created, I hope he is smiling at where TV has come as a medium. And I also think he'd be very excited about where TV is going. He would be thrilled at all the new entrepreneurial talent that is getting in with their own filming services. He would be thrilled that the diversity of the medium went far beyond what he could see in his lifetime. And it's going to go farther beyond even more. And I think he would be so proud of the kind of television more often than not that we have the opportunity to see any given day, any given night, any given time. And I also think that he would have used the new tools of the trade like interactivity and 5G and augmented reality and computer effects and drone cameras and GoPros to add new dimensions, if you will, to his work and to the work of others. I hope Rod is smiling up there. While we will not know what he could have done past his death in 1975, we do know the great work he's done. We can see it every day on YouTube. We can see it mornings on Sci-Fi with the Twilight Zone. And I'm sure that there are other channels out there that are also presenting his work one way or another. And that's a great thing. And it's also great to know that in our zone of the universe, the best very well may be ahead. Rod Serling would like that very much. And if you want to see that special, a conversation with Rod Serling, and I highly recommend you do, go to YouTube and look up a conversation with Rod Serling. I think, and stay with us for the whole half hour. I think you'll like what you see. And again, it's a conversation with Rod Serling, produced by WEK in Washington, presented on the Eastern Educational Network from 1967-1968. Check it out. Oh, and check it out also if you're a James Dickey fan. If you've never heard James Dickey speak, this man was not only a great poet, he was a great speaker. And I think you'll like the contribution he makes in this conversation. Well, that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Thank you all for tuning in. And once again, we're going to be back with you on Friday with a two-hour edition. And yes, we will have guests. We're back on the guest trail. And our guests on Friday will be, among others, Lee Hunt, the popular marketing TV strategist. We'll also have Griffin Gimlet, the executive vice president of Fast Moving and more popular than ever, Whistle TV, the filming service on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, formerly known as Whistle Sports. And the producer of the upcoming Hulu drama series No Man's Land, premiering next month, Maria Feldman. Then coming up, a week from today, among our guests, the recurring guest star of the popular FX series, Emmy nominated this year, What We Do in the Shadows, Veronica Tutela. And she'll be appearing in a brand new series that she will star in next year on the Heartland Network. And finally, we'll wrap up the year, or I should say wrap up the month of this October, special Halloween treat for you, one of the key executives at Home and Garden Television, Lauren Root. And we also hope to have people from an upcoming HBO drama series that's being highly talked about. So we'll say more about that hopefully by this time on Friday. If you came in late on today's episode or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, like our episode last Monday with the executive producer Supermarket Sweep, or the executive producers from the show on HBO this past Saturday, David Budd's American Portrait, all you got to do is go to our homepage and enjoy. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised, blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check us out on podcast anytime you like. You go to iTunes, Amazon Music, Apple TV, also Speakers Podcast Lineup, the TuneIn Radio Podcast, as well as the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. And you can also catch some of our shows as well at MediaVillage.com, the media destination on the web that I write for regularly. So check those episodes, I think, are now on MediaVillage.com. You can get others as well. And we really appreciate Media Village for picking up our podcast as well for some of our episodes. So tune in there. And if you know, and by the way, those episodes are made available to people in the industry. And those of you in the industry that have listened to our program in the last couple of weeks, we thank you for that. Let us know what you think. We really do appreciate it. One more time, I want to give you our classic trivia question of the week. Name the 1970s drama series executive produced by Mike Nichols. First correct answer wins the brand new 2021 American Express Pocket Calendar and Datebook. Email me with that answer, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your email and where you're from. But don't forget where you're from and your mailing address as well, so that if you win the prize, we get that to you. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, you'll see it on Facebook at Simon Applebound and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. And incidentally, don't forget you can also use our email, SimonApple04@yahoo.com, if you want to be part of two regular features that we do on this program. One is called The Show to Know. Is there a TV program you like that you think should get more attention than it's getting right now? Well, let me know. We'll promote it, and you get the credit for it. Tell us that for a great deal. And we have a new feature we started a few weeks ago that I'm getting a lot of feedback about called Reboot This, where we focus on TV shows from all eras of television that only lasted a year or a year and a half at most, despite great reviews. And incidentally, I definitely will do one on The Loner, Rod Serling's great Western series, in an upcoming episode. But if there's one you want to hear about, a show you liked and you felt it left the air way too early before its time, well, again, let me know. Give me the details on the show, where it came from, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credits. Once again, the email to use is simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we use your thoughts on the air, you get the credit. Remember, we always love hearing from you. You make the show work. So use our chat room, use our phone call, and also use me on social media, Facebook and on Twitter, and that email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. I do respond to your thoughts within 24 hours. And there's a very simple reason why. Because now more than ever, what you say matters. So don't keep it in your head. We want to hear about it, and we want to acknowledge you for your thoughts and respond. Once again, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. You can also follow me on LinkedIn as well under my name. And like I said, we do respond because what you say matters, period. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Till is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, head of content. And the co-founders of BTR are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Blog Me Show Live is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free book or two if you're an Amazon Prime Video customer, plus health and wellness information and more, 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. Check it out. Makes a great gift as this holiday season approaches. For tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your week. We are back for a big two-hour edition on Friday. You join us too. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Wherever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great, because we want you back here safe and sound, and we're out to lift this pandemic now more than ever. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.